join me in giving a warm, loving welcome to our precious brother, Pastor Larry Bullard. Come on up and shuck the corn, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. It's always an honor to be here. Is Jake going to do my beast guy? My beast man? Oh, there it is. Isn't that cute? As we know, Pastor Eddie is very effective at using visuals in his teaching and his messages. And I shared with him that I was going to speak tonight on the beast of self, the beast of self. And I asked him if he could fix a little character that would kind of describe and kind of an ugly. He succeeded, didn't he? That's me in the morning before my coffee. Deborah and I are so honored to be here, and my dear son is here. I wrote this to myself, I guess, a while back. Lord, you're more than my best prayer. You're more than my best message. You're more than my highest praise. You're more than my deepest pain. You're more than my fiercest doubt. You're more than my highest thought. You're more than my greatest anxiety. You're more. Romans 6 is the greatest chapter of liberation in the New Testament. There's more in here than I'll ever dig out. I've been in and out of Romans 6 for a long time, but I've never actually preached this message, so I can hardly wait to hear what I'm going to say. Romans 6, the beast of self. I call it that because self deserves no mercy. The self-life can have no mercy. There's bad news and there's good news. The bad news is we have to die. The good news is we get to die. And I'll talk about that more later. We're going to look at what the self-life looks like, and I think we all know that already, and then what the walk of the Spirit life looks like. First of all, what self looks like. We know that self is very, well, I hadn't read my text. I told Todd I was pumped. Romans 6, verse 11 and 12, you could jump in anywhere, but I'm going to look at verses 11 and 12 of Romans 6. Reckon, that word reckon is an accounting word. Reckon or consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, sin is not to reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its lust. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. What a word. Again, I say, this is the most liberating chapter in the New Testament. Let's look at self first. We know it's narcissistic. It's always thinking about itself. There are always opportunities, are there not, for flesh to rise up. We all deal with it every day. We dealt with it on the way here. Just to show you how recent it can be, we're pulling into the parking lot, and I say to Deborah, wow, there's a lot of cars there tonight. And her response was, yeah, they think Pastor Doc's going to preach tonight. See, because I had to, I handled that one real well. Yeah, always an opportunity for the flesh to burn. Here's a stinger. The next time, and by the way, there's a finger pointing out there, there's a thumb back here. The next time you're in a conversation, try to be aware of how many times you use the personal pronoun, I. I. Self is highly opinionated. I grew up with 5 siblings and 6 of us at home, And my sister Virginia and her brothers would fight. Of course, I never got into any of that. But There's a little self there. But and true story, when she would, my mother would get upset, she would always call us by our full name. She said, "Virginia Ruth, I told you not to say another word." And I promise you, Virginia would always say, "Well, all right." I don't think Mother caught on to that, or she would have lived to be 21. She inevitably had the last word. The flesh always wants to have the last word. Here's a hard word. Self has destroyed more marriages than whiskey or infidelity. The self life. It is a beast. The beast of self. Adrian Rogers said many years ago, "There are no problems too big to solve. There are only people too small to solve them." You can dress them up and it's still flesh. You can educate it, it's still flesh. You can put enough makeup on it to sink a battleship, and it's still flesh. You can reform it, it's still self. You can stop its habits, and it's still self. Personal reformation is not transformation. It's not. The only remedy for the flesh is the cross. I'm telling you, God made a way for us to be free. He wants his children free. And praise God, it's happening all over the world now. Religion flails at the branches. Jesus goes to the root. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Consider yourselves dead to sin. That verse asks nothing of me. It tells us what God has already done. What he has already done. This does not mean getting better. That's so common in conversation. "Well, I'm getting better." For what? It is not. Well, here's the most popular one I hear. "Well, I'm trying." That being interpreted means my flesh and I are going to work something out. Yeah, good luck with that. It does not mean, it is not a command. It's already done. You can't add to it. You can't figure it out. The moment you start trying to figure this out, you're sunk. You say, "Well, Larry, I'm still aware of sin in my life." The only solution to that is to believe what God says. If you believe it for 30 minutes, you'll know if this thing works. You just got to believe what he says, just like Abraham did. He believed God. That's what we have to do on this text right here. The only way this works is to believe it. We're dead to sin. That's an aorist tense. You're not trying to die. You're dead. You can't improve yourself. That's what religion does. I say this every time, that religion always asks more than you can do. And Jesus always does more than you can ask. Freedom rises up out of this. Our freedom comes from this. Now, God is not annihilating your personality. That's not what this is. Obedience to him and dying to self really gives you your true personality. He gives you what you truly are, what he redeemed to make you in the first place. The good news is that God's made a way. I looked at flesh, now let's look at the good news. There's bad news and good news. The bad news is you have to die. The good news is we get to die to that old beast. We don't have to have that beast in our house, in your home, in your life. You have authority over him. He's dead anyway. Don't argue with him. He's dead. Just consider it dead. That's what God says. Now that just jumped out at me. Verse 11. We're alive. We're alive to God. That phrase just jumped off the page. What does it mean to be alive to God? Several things. One, it means that the Holy Spirit of God now resides and presides in our lives. I don't know what your experience with the Holy Spirit was early on. I can tell you briefly about mine. I was taught, either directly or indirectly, to shun those Pentecostals and Charismatics. Now are one. I was taught, directly or indirectly, they're basically uneducated people. They're usually highly emotional. They wear ponytails, and they eat at the Waffle House. That was my impression of what I am now. I grew up with if you're over 100, you remember what the Brill Cream commercial was. Brill Cream, a little dabble, do you? Well, I was brought up in it, folks. This is not preacher talk. This is reality. I lived in it. A little dabble, do you? A little bit of spirit, a little bit. All you're going to get, just a little bit, do you? That is heresy. Listen, one reason I take notes a lot is that false teaching almost destroyed my life. You say, well, there it was. I could have found it in the book, but I didn't find it on my own. Most of us don't. But I found out I can't live on a little dab. I got to have oceans and rivers flowing and flowing and flowing and rivers. Amen. A little dab won't do you. Amen. False doctrine will destroy you. I went through a season. We were in East Tennessee. This is not a pleasant memory, but it's part of who I am. I'm the only me I know. And I was struggling. I was in a church that had four different factions in it. And I kind of made a fifth one. That's not a good solution. And I was not in a good place. And I would read 1 John 5:3 says, His commandments are not grievous. And I thought, oh, really? Really? Look at me. And a long story longer, but I praise God. In 1984, I got set free. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in a ballroom in La Quinta Inn in Dallas, Texas, and my life was totally changed. It saved my marriage and my life and my ministry and my son, my family. It's important that you get the Holy Spirit and get all of them you can get. Don't worry about what to call it. Just get it. Just get it. Another thing alive to God means is you're never without hope. I guess being retired puts part of this on me, but I guess I have more time to kind of observe people. I don't criticize people. That's flesh. But I look at people, and you know what I see so much? I see no light in their eyes. The light has gone out, folks, of so many people around us. You never have to be hopeless again. Now, we have our moments. I talked to a young man the other day. Larry said, I am just so down. And here's what I said to him. I said, it's okay to get down, just don't stay down. Just don't stay down. We all get down sometimes. I've been down, I'm up. I like up better. Being alive to God means that not only do you don't have to be hopeless again, but being alive to God means you're under a new dominion. You're under a new reign. Do you get that word reign? We're either reigning in life or being reigned on. And He came for us to reign in life. You're under a new dominion. Your address has changed. There's an old song when I started preaching when I was 19. 57 years I've been working at this. And there's a song, Thanks to Calvary, I Don't Live There Anymore. Remember that one? Well, that's true. We've got a new address. Praise God. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of His dear Son. It's a done deal. You can't make it happen. It happened. Just walk in it. Live it out. Praise God. We are either, this is a hard word, right now where you sit, you're either under the dominion and rule of Satan or you're under the rule and dominion of the grace of God. You can't go in and out of one out of them. You can't be in one dominion one day and in another dominion. You're either in it or out of it. In or out. The dominion. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. Now, we're talking about position here. Positionally, you're in Christ Jesus. That will never change. Though the stars fall out of their sockets, and the mountains fall into the depths, your position will never change. Never. Throughout all eternity, you're in Christ. That'd been a good place for an amen right there. Thank you. I used to say when I was a kid, when I'd preach in revivals, I'd say, well, that would, you could have said amen there, but if you have to ask for it, it's not worth much, but it beats nothing. Positionally, you've been changed. Heartache may wreck your heart, but it's unchanged. Disease may try to grip your body, but you're unchanged. Your financial situations may change, but your position is unchanged. You're a child of God. Nothing's ever going to change that. You know, we get excited, and we should. Over the second coming, I got a news flash. Paul never got over his first coming. Never got over his first coming. Divorce may threaten you, but you remain unchanged. Another thing being alive to God does, it makes us sensitive to our surroundings. I won't share any names here. It's not appropriate, but Deborah has a good friend whose daughter decided not long ago, just made the announcement, I'm a lesbian. Tore the heart out of her mother. So all her mother could do was pray and send her on her way. Her mother prayed for her for years. The Word of God was in that girl. And we prayed with her and prayed. Well, that young girl came home. She said, Mama, I'm coming home. This friend I met is not a good person, and I'm coming home. I'm coming home. And that's what we decree and declare over all of ours, is it not? They're coming home. They're coming home. So my daddy said when I got through preaching, just shut up and quit. So I'm done. First thing he said to me when I started preaching, he said, son, if you're going to preach, say what you have to say, shut up and sit down. So I'm obeying my dad. But here's the deal. Is that old beast still roaming around your heart? Do you hear more of him than you wish you did? You want to? Is he, did I go off? Is he still roaming around your house? If he's still giving you trouble, you need to put him back in the grave. You need to go in there with him, and you come out by yourself, you and Jesus. Again, you can't figure it out. You're just dead. That old man is dead. The beast is dead. And you're alive to God. You're alive to him. I'll tell you, when I got set free in 1984, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And for all my life, the devil had lied to me, talked to me. I didn't know until after 17 years in ministry that I could not only talk back to the devil, I could put him under my feet. I could get rid of him and put him where he belongs, and that's where he is. I'm telling you, you don't have to tolerate living in the mire. You can live on the rock. Sometimes I wonder, I got friends that, well, they're just, I guess it's kind of like this. You're going to be sick and tired. You're going to stay sick and tired until you get tired of being sick and tired. That's just the way it is. God doesn't coerce anybody, does he? He didn't us. He took a long time with me. That's why I can be patient with others. So our music team is coming. Pastor, our praise team, our prayer team and me, prayer team is going to come. And tonight, if you just need to just lay it down again. Lord, I'm tired of figuring this out. You're not going to. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know Jesus died to set me free. None of us are as free as he died to make us. But we can all be freer than we are. The beast of self is dead. Let's stand together. Team, come on. You're already here. Jake, you're doing better tonight. Okay. All right. Prayer team members, if you'd come, they're here to pray with you. I know some of you got stuff. I know because Deborah and I talked to a lot of you. You just got stuff. Get rid of it. You don't have to live in it. You really don't. You can live above it. So let's, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness. We bless you for your sufficiency for each one of us. Thank you for what you're doing in this room even now. We give you the glory and the credit for everything we are. In Jesus' name, amen. You come. Other prayer team members need to come.
Pastor Larry, that was a wonderful word from God's Word tonight. Can you just thank our brother, thank the Lord for how He used him tonight. That's one of those you need to go back and listen. Listen to part of it, stop it, and think about what you're hearing. So much truth in there. So often we're praying for things that God's already taken care of. We don't get our heart in line with what the Scripture says. And so thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you for the way you shared it with us. And thank you for how God led you. We just really, really appreciate that so much. This altar remains open. There may be some of you that you're feeling a prompting. You know, I need prayer. I don't really know how to say what I need prayer for. You don't have to say anything. Just come up and say, I need prayer. And we'll be happy to pray with you. I do encourage you to, when you leave, take this Romans 6 passage with you. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. So important to be alive to the right things, right? Take that with you. Also, during this week, ask the Lord, is there someone I need to contact? There's someone I can invite to come and worship with me this coming Sunday. You can be a witness. Sometimes just a simple invitation can be the first step towards someone's life or a whole family's life being changed. We have seen that over and over again here at Grace House, where someone invites someone whose family comes, and then they come to know the Lord. So your voice matters. God will move and work through you. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Father God, we just say yes and amen to what we have heard. We're so grateful for what has been accomplished for us already through the cross by our Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would fill us anew and afresh with your Holy Spirit. May our light shine brightly this week, and may we be that voice, that witness to someone in need. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. This altar remains open. Thank you again for being here.